Okay, everybody, we're getting rolling here. Just a second. Tonight's show, we're going to have Don the Dragon Wilson. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me, and let's get this show started. This is Leanna from Philadelphia. A little change of pace on the music tonight.
You think you're all that you want to be, and now your head is ready to explode. Oh, yeah.
WhiteCollarBoxing.com, First and Fight Fitness, been in business for 20 years, offer boxing, kickboxing, and karate, the original CrossFit training program. We stretch like you do in yoga. We hit the heavy bags like you do in boxing and kickboxing. We do kata, and we also compete in tournaments, so we have people that are just working out for fitness only. Go check out our website at WhiteCollarBoxing.com or call 972-851-5656.
WTFRadio.me. Underground and over the top radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Overturf from WTFRadio.me. Tonight's guest, we have Don the Dragon Wilson. He started karate in Florida. He's a world-renowned kickboxer and now movie star. How you doing today, Don?
I'm doing very good. You know, my standard line is nobody has punched me in the head all day. So far, it's a pretty good day.
All right, great. Well, let me ask you a question about your background. How old were you when you actually started martial arts?
Well, and you know, I started in a different era, of course. You know, in my era, I started at 17, and I was in the Coast Guard Academy. Actually, I was from Florida, but I was attending the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut. And my first teacher was a Goju stylist, Japanese stylist named Chuck Merriman.
Uh-huh.
And I studied there until I left the Coast Guard Academy, came to Florida, and then my brother and Daniel K. Pai and Fred Schmitz were my instructors in Pai Lum Kung Fu.
Okay. So Kung Fu was your first martial arts style that
yes,
you took?
Yes, that's where I got my black belt, and that's my traditional style.
I was always wondering why you wear those little Bruce Lee silk things in your photographs and stuff.
Well, I was a big Bruce Lee fan, for one thing.
Oh, you're the, you know, like every karate school has a, you know, you've been in martial arts for years. You've seen a lot of guys come and go in class and everything else. Every once in a while, you'll get some guy that comes in class that has this affinity for Bruce Lee. They, you know, try to dress like him, walk, talk like him. Were you one of those guys? Were you the guy in your karate school that was that way?
No, we call that, those kind of guys, weirdos. No, I was one of those. I just appreciated his philosophy of fighting.
Right.
If you remember, and I tell people, he's the pioneer of mixed martial arts. He's the first guy who popularized the idea of studying everything. And remember, in the opening scene of Enter the Dragon, he didn't knock out Sammo Hung. He submitted him.
Right.
And he had the gloves way before the UFC had gloves. He had gloves that you could punch and grab. And he was fighting in the little bitty, what do they call it, Speedos?
Oh, yeah.
He was fighting the opening scene, and that movie was shot in about 72.
Right.
So he's about 50 years ahead of the rest of us.
Well, I got started because of the television series Kung Fu. Is your wife related to...
No, he's not. No, she's not. But let me tell you what the story of her last name being Carradine. But her Carradine is spelled with a K.
Oh, okay, okay.
He was filming something in the area of Northern California she lived. She liked the sound of the Carradine, and she basically just took that name. She changed her name.
Oh, really?
From whatever it was, because I didn't know her back then. But she had a name, and she liked it so much, she changed her name to Kathleen Carradine.
Well, it's a popular name. It really influenced my life. I got started in karate, I guess, right before that series got on, and maybe I was influenced by the Green Hornet with Bruce Lee. I couldn't really remember, but I quit all sports that I was doing. I was doing track, baseball, football, and when I was 16 years old, I just quit everything because of karate. After my second lesson, I said, you know what? I can be good at this. This is going to be my thing. How did they hit you? When did you have that feeling when you started?
I played everything, you know, the normal sports. I played football and basketball. I was an MVP of my football team in high school and an MVP of my basketball team. I ran track. I wrestled in college. I played football, basketball in college. I mean, I did all the typical sports, but when I started the martial arts, I fell in love with it. I mean, that was the sport that I felt like I was born to do, or the activity, because martial arts is not a sport, of course. It is a way of life, and it's basically self-defense oriented.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
The sport form, the kickboxing form, was a sport, and I did love it. And the kicking and punching was perfect for me.
Oh, I understand. I always like to look at it like karate is a way of life, not a hobby. A lot of people that do it, it could be a hobby for a lot of people, but for the people that were impacted, like myself and you, it became a way of life. It was something you just submersed yourself in.
Well, there are many, many life lessons that are much more valuable. Much more valuable than whether or not you got a good solid left hook, a right cross, a choke hold, an arm bar, a low kick. I mean, there are many things, because the truth of it is, as a fighter, my prime was 1984.
Right.
That was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And at a certain point, you start going, I don't know if the term is good as downhill, but you just have less fighting ability as you go. But guess what, Jeff? And every martial artist listening, the ability to gain knowledge and, to help your relationships, to help you understand your place in the world and your spiritual development, that goes on forever. Matter of fact, the values you get in the martial arts increase as you age in that regard. So if all you think about is the punching, the kicking, the choking, the twisting, the arm bars, if you're only into that, it'll be a short period of time before you're heading downhill. And actually, I'm at a point now at my age, 56. I think I'm done fighting, for real.
No, I understand. I still spar.
I've already retired three times, you know, and I keep telling people, if they got cash, I'll fight in the parking lot.
Well, I usually only spar when it's a private lesson, and that's about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with the sparring and the fighting and the, you know. I think I did enough of it, Jeff.
Oh, I know. It's not like that we weren't deprived of a lot of competition. I mean, it's in the hundreds of matches. You know, when you think about all the point karate involved, I mean, it's way up there. I was always an admirer of your technique, because I thought you were like Bruce Lee. When first time I saw you was in Florida when I fought your student, Donnie Hare. But I thought, this guy, you reminded me of Bruce Lee. Your technique was like Bruce Lee. Your intro into the ring and everything. I was going, this is the living Bruce Lee.
I used to come out to Enter the Dragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But hey, Donnie, first of all, about Donnie here, Donnie here is not my student. He's just a friend.
Oh, like, I thought he was your student.
In fact, he studied Yoshikai karate. He didn't, I never studied that style of karate that he was a black belt in.
Oh, okay.
He lived in Cocoa Beach and he trained in my school and he was an amateur kickboxer and became a pro later on.
Right.
No, he was never a student of mine. And I might have worked his corner maybe for one fight, but I think maybe I've never worked his corner actually.
Well, you were always fighting usually. When you were usually on the same card, weren't you?
No, only because he was a local fighter. Yeah, if the cards were in Cocoa Beach, we would appear on the same cards only because he lived in the area.
Right, I got you.
He was never my student, though. I just, you know.
Okay, I don't know why I got that impression, but I guess it's just because y'all were both in Cocoa Beach when I fought.
Both from that area, but I don't want him to think I'm trying to take credit for any successes that he had.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I really can't do that.
Well, getting back to what you were talking about, you know, the work ethic is probably the main thing that I've seen a lot of black belts bring away from martial arts. In other words, it's one of those things like, if it can be done, then I can do it. Because they've had to fundamentally break down every technique they ever learned, learning how to read people and stuff like that. Would you agree with that, or you have something to elaborate on that?
Well, I tell you what I think, Jeff, and because I've known Chuck Norris intimately now, or not intimately, but, you know, I've known him since 1978. So I know him pretty well because we came from the same beginnings. He was a fighter, a competitor. He became an entertainer. And I was the same way. I was a fighter, a competitor, and now I'm more of an entertainer.
Right.
And the lessons I learned as a martial artist, I use in my everyday life, especially the film business. I cannot believe how close they parallel each other. I mean, even to the point where there's a producer and there's a promoter. They start with a P.
Right.
There's an agent, and in the fight game, we have a manager who gets you the fights, right?
Right.
You have acting coaches. Well, we have trainers in the fight game, right? Teachers, trainers.
Uh-huh.
You have acting coaches. You go to acting class. You go to kickboxing class. You go to kung fu class. I mean, there are actors and there are athletes that are fighters and that are perform in TV and film. I mean, the parallels are amazing.
Right.
And your success as an actor is a public thing, correct? I mean, if your movie opens number one, I mean, everybody knows it. If you win the world title, everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's true.
You kind of become famous in the fight game, and you definitely become famous in the acting game if you're successful. That's very true.
Very
similar. The careers have been very similar.
Well, how many movies you been in now, Don?
I have starred in 28 films.
Wow.
Starred in more Hollywood films than any Asian actor in history. Period.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood films. You know, I mean, Jackie Chan's done a few.
Right.
But, you know, they're about 90, he's still about 90% Hong Kong films.
Right.
And Jet Li's done a few and Chuck did a few, but, you know, I'm certain, I think Chuck's was less than 20, not positive, but I know I've done 28 of them. And
right.
For an Asian American, I've done more Hollywood films than any Asian American in history.
Right. Well, let's emphasize a little bit. Let's take a little break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about your fighting and stuff like that as far as your career goes and all that kind of business. We'll be right back here. Just hang on 1 second, folks. We'll be back with Don Wilson, and this is Jeff Overture from WTO. All right, this next entertainer is called Kiss Me Deadly by Leanna from Philadelphia.
I got in a fight, uh-huh. It ain't no big thing. We'll be right back.
I'd like to give a shout out to David Vines, Ken Stone, Gary Lee. What's up? What are you guys doing tonight? I hope you enjoy the show. We got Don Wilson coming up right here and now. All right, everybody, I'm back, and I'm talking with my guest, Don Wilson, Don the Dragon Wilson. He's a movie star and a former world champion in kickboxing and a great martial artist. Don, you were just talking a minute ago about a little bit about the karate aspect and the martial arts part of your training as far as belt ranking go. How did that benefit you, what you were talking about, starting as a beginner and then going through the ranks in martial arts? How did that apply to your life?
In life, a lot of people just want to take a magic pill and then, you know, have a world title in something,
right?
Or accomplish something very quickly. You know, it's a 2-week course and you've got a college degree. But martial arts definitely teaches you that there are increments to your learning. And nobody starts off as a white belt and the next belt he gets is black. I mean, there's many different levels. There's degrees within each belt. And it's a slow process with gradual feedback, whether you're performing correctly or you're making mistakes or you're lagging behind. So in that sense, that those lessons, I think, were very valuable to me in the film business. I mean, I didn't try to go out, you know, my first audition and try to be in a studio A-list film. I mean, I've gradually worked my way up, and I've been in some big films. I was in Batman Forever. That was the highest grossing film of the year that year. So I've seen how the biggest films at Warner Brothers, Batman, can how they operate. And then I've done the ultra low budget one shot in the Manila in the Philippines, my first two films, and I understand the business now of filmmaking, not just acting, but I co-produce the films, which means I work on the scripts, I work on the casting, the editing. I mean, every aspect, creative aspect of the film I learned. And as a martial artist, I believe that's something Bruce Lee said. He said, don't just study one aspect of the martial arts or one style, but study many, study them all, and incorporate them into your system. And so those basic philosophies worked well for me, served me well as a fighter, as a kickboxer, and they've done, well, I believe I've been pretty successful. I've starred in 28 movies, and all 28 were profitable.
Right.
So I'm 28-0 in the film business.
But you know, there's one thing I've always admired about you, Don, is like your humility. You've always been humble. And you never did put out any kind of ego or insecurity type projection about beating your chest or I'm above this or above that or I'm better than this or better than that. You never did that. And as an announcer,
I'm going to let my ego go right now. And I'm going to negate what you just said, because there is one thing I can brag about. And I can say I don't consider myself a master fighter, a master kickboxer, a master kung fu stylist, martial artist. I am the master of one thing, though, Jeff.
What?
I am the grandmaster of procrastination. I've got it down to an art form, and if there were degrees, I'd be minimum of a 10th degree.
Yeah, but that's just in your consciousness, because in reality, you've been like a host on all sorts of televised events in martial arts and sports. You've been in movies. You are a world champion kickboxer, United States champion kickboxer. I've seen you in Black Belt magazine I don't know how many times, so... If you have procrastination, you're the only person that knows about it, because certainly I don't, and I don't think anybody else does either. That may be one of the things that drives you as much as you drive yourself, because you are very driven.
Well, you know what? You know, the way you just put it made me think about something. You know, the way you perceive yourself, a person, I'm saying, the way one perceives themselves is not necessarily how they're perceived by others. It doesn't always match, and I guess that's partially why I see myself as a beginner, as a martial artist. Every day I go and I learn. I learn how to shift my body weight. I learn how to put a little more shoulder into a punch or a little more kick. I do not feel, after 30 years of being a kickboxer, that I am, quote, the master, or that I've learned everything. Same thing in the film business. Even though I've done 28 films, I haven't done 2,800 million grossing films.
Right.
There should be no ego in my acting ability or my acting career, because I've got so far to go.
Right.
The same as a martial artist. You know, I was a collegiate wrestler before I was a kickboxer. So I always loved the ground game, but I never had time to do it. I can't go around training as a submitting people when I was kickboxing on my feet. You know, it would take away from my sport.
Right.
But
no, I understand.
Today it would be great if I could have at least one mixed martial art fight.
Well, you know, I'm not trying to downplay mixed martial arts, but I have noticed, and there was some of this in kickboxing at some point also, everybody was trying to fight in kickboxing before they got their fundamentals down. And all the guys that I came up with in kickboxing were a brown belt or black belt in karate first.
Oh, no, that's the sport has changed. Look, all the champions, Joe Louis, Benny Urquidez, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, Howard Jackson, all those guys, not only were they all black belts, they were high ranking. They were the best point fighters of the day, so their technique was beautiful.
You know,
their speed was perfect.
You know, the best example that I could use is in the World Combat League, and I know you were an announcer and worked with Chuck on that.
Yeah, I did one show because, you know, Chuck wanted me and Richard Norton to help out just to get the thing kicked off.
Right. Well, there was Raymond McDaniels from Los Angeles. He was fighting these Muay Thai fighters in the World Combat League, and Raymond McDaniels was a devout, strict point karate fighter. But he applied his point karate skills in a very unorthodox way, similar to the way Raymond McCallum used to. But he was extremely effective. He hit the target. It devastated his opponents. And these guys were kicking to the legs, mainly boxing. And Raymond just wiped them out with his kicks, his punches on target.
In Thailand, the number one fighter they claimed in the world, the top Thai fighter in Thailand. Now, of course, I lost a decision because I lost 8 pounds a day of the
I've been there.
But I was weak. But it went five rounds, and I won the last round. If it was a 12-round fight, that guy would have never made it. They're five-round fighters. They fight three hard rounds, and they coast, and they win fights.
Right, right.
3 rounds they win, 2 rounds they lose, they still win.
Well, you know, I tell everybody the same thing. I say rules are rules. You have a lot of ex-boxers or boxers that are over the hill that try to make a changeover to mixed martial arts, and everybody in mixed martial arts says, well, boxers aren't that great of a fighting art. Mixed martial arts is better.
Ray Mercer knocked out the UFC champion in less than 10 seconds.
Well, I was just about to say that they need to have the top in any weight division MMA fighter fighting Queensberry rules in a boxing match.
Oh, my God. There'd be no... Listen, here's the thing. Without the grabbing and the what they call the ground game,
right?
Those guys wouldn't be sparring partners for someone like me or... any boxer, Roy Jones, any good boxer, but they don't look. Why would you want to perfect your strikes when you throw a couple of strikes, grab the guy, take him to the ground, and now you're on the ground? There's no punching and kicking.
Well, you know, on the amateur level, when you watch a lot of MMA fights, two guys are just laying on the ground, locked up, and there's not much action at all. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody knock somebody out with a head kick, and it's the best fight of the night, and it's one technique. You know,
Look, you know, the level of skill of their striking is not the level of the golden era of kickboxing, which is in the 80s and 90s, because of the fact that there's no reason to. You just grab the guy and go to the ground.
Right.
So they're not going to spend the hours and the years perfecting the kicks and punches.
Right.
You're not going to see that level of expertise.
Well, it's not
that. Let me tell you, you know, this sport, we're calling MMA, martial arts, it's a sport. It's a sport because if you get on the ground with an untrained fighter, your eyes are like grapes. All he has to do is rake your eyes, you're blind.
Well, you know,
why would you want to get on the ground?
I was a bouncer, and this is in Dallas, Texas. And one thing I used to always say says, what are you going to do if somebody gets you on the ground? I said, well, we're not talking about both of us being in the fifth grade in somebody's backyard having a fight. I said, most fights are involved where there's alcohol and women. It's usually in a bar. And I said, that's where our sporting events. But it's usually, and the fights last 3 seconds. And what happens when you go down the ground? You have 8 bouncers and 50 Mexicans beating the crap out of you as soon as you hit the ground. So it's not like there's a ground game in a bar because it's
First of all, you're not going to fight some Brazilian jiu-jitsu style. You're going to fight what I call the knucklehead.
Right, exactly.
And he might be able to, though, gouge your eyes. You know, I don't wear a cup when I go out. I don't know if you do.
No.
Your groin's going to be vulnerable.
Right.
The other thing is biting. There's a reason there's no biting in the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
There's not going to be very many holds you can't chew out of.
Oh, that's true. And, you know, the jaw is very powerful.
If you can eat a prime rib, you can chew right through somebody's arm.
Oh, that's a fact.
So why would you want to perfect the ground game? There's no padding on the streets.
Right.
What you want to perfect is, as a martial artist, you want to perfect your striking.
Right.
Then you want to have the grappling as a backup in case you go to the ground.
Right.
So I would say, if you're going to say, how would you distribute the training? 80% strikes, 20% grappling. And in my life, that's pretty much what I've done. I did do a few years of collegiate wrestling, but I've done 30 years of kickboxing.
Right.
So my striking ability, I fought trained fighters, not, like you said, barroom brawlers.
Right.
Drunk guys who's they're mad and jealous of their girlfriends and they throw a punch at you. Right. I fight top fighters from all over the world for 20 years.
You know, that's always a good line to use when, you know, because wherever you live, if you've lived in, like, you know, myself in Dallas, people are always trying to challenge you, trying to make a name for yourself. Even back when I used to fight professionally, and even now as an old man, retrospectively speaking to what I used to be, and I look at him and I say, well, let me ask you a question. I said, what's going to happen when you hit me with your best shot and nothing happens? And I said, are you going to be willing to deal with that? And, you know, that's what a lot of people don't realize. They think, you know, they're just going to hit you and you're going to just, you know, quit. And, you know,
not professional fighters. Because we move just right to be able to absorb punches and kicks. Jeff, here's the way I compare it. And this is, I think, pretty accurate. If you're a guy who once in a while picks up a tennis racket and plays tennis like a weekend warrior or street tennis player.
Right.
What are you going to do against John McEnroe, Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors? When the top guys in the world who do it professionally against the other top guys who do it for 30 years, what is the level of skill they have against a guy who once in a while picks up a tennis racket?
Right. It's off the hook. There's no comparison.
Right. It's night and day.
Right.
And a professional fighter up against the normal, just the guy trying to pick your pocket, no comparison.
Right. Well, let's take a little break here. We'll be back here in just a moment with Don Wilson. This is Jeff Overture from WTFRadio.me. We'll be right back. All right, this entertainer coming up. It's a band called the Alan Fox Band from Carthage, Texas, my hometown. Ain't nobody got, nobody owns the blues but me. Love this song. I play it every show.
Well, I just say to my brother, yes, I say, what's this trouble coming over me? Take it back, please just take it back. Ain't nobody got the blues but me. Yes, I say to myself, yes, I say, what's this trouble coming over me? Take it back, please just take it back. Nobody got them blues but me. My baby says she wanna touch me. My bottle says it wanna sue me. Ain't nobody know the pain in me. Landlord says that the rent is due. I tell him I don't give a damn, cause it's pain and it's care. Take me back to the place. You know they said they got a place that got no pain. If my soul has gotta go, well then let it go. Ain't nobody on them blues but me. My baby says she wanna touch me. My bottle says it wanna soothe me. Nobody not the pain in me. A landlord said that the rent is due. I just tell him I don't give a damn, cause it's pain and it's killing me. Oh Lord, won't you just take me back? Take me back, yeah, to the place. Please that this ain't got no pain. If my soul has gotta go, well then let it go. Ain't nobody got no blues but me. If my soul has gotta go, well then let it go. Oh, yeah. But it seems blues with me.
just take me home.
All right, everybody, this is Jeff Overturf. I'm back with Don the Dragon Wilson. Okay, Don, we were talking just a little bit ago about competition versus karate schools that don't necessarily promote competition. What was your slant on that type of being a fighter and a competitor, and everybody in your background where you came from did the same thing? What would the advantage of that be versus the other?
Well, like Bruce Lee said, if you want to learn how to swim, you got to get in the water. If you want to defend yourself against the strikes, punches, kicks, whatever that from another person, you've got to get in front of a person, a stranger that you don't know, not one of your classmates you've sparred a dozen times, but somebody new, so you can react. And also, there's a kind of a nervous tension that happens when you're at a tournament. I'm sure you know what it is.
Oh yeah, adrenaline. Yeah.
There's fear. I there's the only way I can explain it. It's kind of like a adrenaline rush. But
it's the fear of losing.
The fear of getting hurt. Yeah. Losing, whatever. You've got to be able to control that and get over that as a martial artist, or you won't be able to execute the techniques you know. So if you're in a school that never puts you under a stressful situation like that against a complete stranger who's trying to do his best to beat you in a confined, you know, restricted set of rules, if you never go up against that, then you're going to be at a disadvantage in a self-defense situation.
I agree with that.
If you've been put yourself on the line many times, and you've stressed yourself and you've worked your technique and you've perfected them, you'll be much better able to execute in a life and death situation than without the competitive experiences.
Oh, I agree.
I don't say it's about the trophies. It's not about that. It's not about your fight record or anything. It's about overcoming your own fears and inhibitions as a fighter.
Joe Lewis did a seminar here in Dallas for Alistine's birthday, and one of the things that he talked about was, like, it's good to get hyped up, but don't get over anxious to a point that it works against you.
Right. It's good, really, to be have a certain amount of nervous tension. Your reflexes become faster. You know that? That's the absolute truth. When you're under that adrenaline rush, fight or flight, they call it in biology.
Right.
You're better able to react, to move, to actually you can withstand pain better because you've got these endomorphins going through your bloodstream.
Oh, absolutely.
So you got to use that, quote, fear or anxiety to become a positive force in your self-defense as a martial artist.
Right. Well, it's been a lot of people that have imagined these histories that they never really had when it came to a fight career or fighting. And one of the things that I always admired about people that I knew that were great fighters, you would be one of those guys. It's because, you know, there's no question. I mean, there's no proving, there's no beating of the chest or anything else like that. It's like the people that have been there and done that, you know, speak the softest or speak the least, whereas the ones that didn't have didn't take the opportunity to come up under a competition format and testing your skills against people you didn't know. It seems to me that there's a large insecurity barrier there that doesn't exist in the people that are they're like yourself.
You're basically making an observation about human nature, which is the same today as it was 3 million years ago when we were climbing into trees. A person that acts overconfident, if you read any of the books on psychology, is actually a person who has an inferiority complex.
Right.
A guy who is acting tough and I know everything is actually a guy in his deepest part of his heart is an insecure. Oh, I'm sorry. It's an insecure, scared person.
Right.
Basically. And they're covering that insecurity with this kind of overconfident, egotistical, conceited attitude.
Right. And it could be something they picked up in their childhood from their own family. It may not have to do with anything else, but just the way they were raised in their neighborhood or their family, or a rivalry between them and another sibling or something like that.
Well, yeah, I, regardless of where it comes from, it is a, it's a common thing, and it's human nature. It's not to say anything good or bad about people, but a lot of, you know, this is a generalization, but men suffer for this more than women, of course.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys have that egotistical kind of know-it-all, tough guy attitude. And look, some of those guys can actually fight good, well, but it still does not eliminate the idea that the reason they're acting that way is because they're insecure.
Right.
Even if they're a great fighter, you could still be a great fighter and be insecure, you know.
Right. Well, one of the reasons that I was driven to fight is because I wanted to prove to myself. In the beginning, though, I was trying to prove it to other people. But in reality, I was trying to prove it to myself, even though that I maybe went a little too far sometimes. But the whole time, that it wasn't because I was convinced. It's because I wasn't convinced. And I was still trying to convince myself I could still do this, or I could be great at it. That was one of the, but I used that as a drive. I tried to turn that into a positive if I could.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to make that point. You know, a lot of motivation, which may on the outside appear to be a destructive one, can be constructive if it's used as motivation to improve yourself, improve your relationships, you know, as a human being to be evolving. I mean, hopefully we're not just evolving physically. We're also evolving emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. As living beings, we are more than just matter, you know, and if we can hopefully progress and become better, that's the goal.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Well, you were saying something earlier about you have you've branched out into other areas because of the opportunities you've gotten from martial arts. You're a fighter. You've been on television. You've been an announcer on fights. You've been in the movies. I've seen you on television before. What else are you getting into? What kind of other opportunities are coming up?
Recently, Jeff, I just got back a couple of days ago from the magic show. Now, that's not the magic that you do making rabbits disappear.
Right.
It is a clothing convention in Vegas. I've never been involved in this. And I have one of the largest distributors and manufacturers of clothing approached me about, I mean, he's got all the big clients, all the big ones that you've heard of. I mean, all the big department stores and things. And there'll be a line of Dragon clothing released worldwide. When it launches, it'll be a pretty big deal. Actually, this is the first time I'm even mentioning it. I don't even have the name of the company yet. And maybe they haven't given, maybe they don't want me to talk about it yet. But
oh, we'll definitely have another show when that comes out.
Yeah,
so
well, I'll
do
another
it.
Show, and I'll have some of the clothes to give to you, Jeff.
Okay, that sounds great.
You're one of the first people to wear it.
Or maybe we can maybe do a little promotion on the website while we're doing the next broadcast.
Yeah, that'd be great because, you know, the manufacturers, quote, producers of it, any publicity and any word you can get out is great for the product, of course.
That sounds good. All right, now we're going to wrap it up. Listen, everybody out there, this is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me and with ex-world champion, movie star, and a great karate man and a great human being, Don the Dragon Wilson. All right, we'll be back in just a little bit with some music for you guys. We'll be right back. Okay, this song is called Someday by Zoe Ann from South Lake, Texas.
Yeah, on her. You can say that it's nothing when you know that nothing's all I'm living for. And don't be so blind when you see me shining. Let it go when you know. And don't be so blind when you see me shining.
All right, we have a question from Steve Armstrong that says, hey, Don and Jeff, weren't you working the ropes in 1980 at the Benny Urquidez Billy Jackson fight? And it says, Greek fought Daryl Tyler that night. Give us your opinion on those two Texas warriors. I have an opinion. Billy Jackson beat Benny the Jet. And Greek knocked Daryl Tyler out with that front hand punch to the body. Two great victories for Texas martial artists. All right, let's get back on the show. This next band is called Snake Handling Preachers, and the name of the song is Greenville Road. I did an interview with them today, and they'll be on shortly. Probably have them on here in about 2 weeks. Great song.
Been on his own a long, long time. Guess this type of girl is kinda hard to find. A whiskey girl and half crazy. Tattooed long hair and a bit of a tease. She walked by on Greenville Road. Walk around the corner, but she's gone. Walk back to her friends, whiskey bars where she wins. He's glad she finally made it to Greenville Road. Hard for a girl to keep him around. There was one she left town. Drank till 6 a.m. and had a ball. This girl in Greenville had what it takes to make him fall. Walked by on Greenville Road. Walked around the corner, but she's gone. Walked back with her friend. Whiskey bars where she went. Glad she finally made it to Greenville Road. Perfect girl from what he couldn't see. Locked up hard, he thought he had the key. Troubled girl with a troubled heart. Didn't have a chance from the start. around the corner, her man's gone. Walk back with her friend. Where the hell did he went? Lost the love of her life on Greendale Road. Walk back with her friend. Where the hell did he went? Lost the love of her life on Greendale Road. Lost the love of her life on Greendale Road.
Okay, this next entertainer coming up is Tiffany Hoyton from Highland Park, Texas, and the name of this song is called Just Be With Me.
President, you wanna be the life of the party, everybody's friend. You wanna be original, make a difference in this world. You wanna be my everything, but baby, no matter what else you do, first of all, most of all, just be you.
Give a shout out to Marion Thornell out there.
sister of a good friend of mine, Steve Thornell. This next song coming up is called Life by Good Literature. They're from Missouri.
If anyone told you that life could be so sweet, would you agree? If you came across the end of a rainbow, would you share the golden beam? And trees and the stars above the sea. So we got everything you know. So free your heart and let it go. It's not about the price you pay, but the way you live the show. Tore up all the flowers in your garden, would you plant a tree? And just hold dear to what your mama taught you. Stand on your feet. When you figure out the value of a lifetime, stop and breathe. Got the birds, the bees, and trees, and the stars above the seas. We got everything you know, so bring your heart and let it go. It's not about the price you pay, but the way you live, stars above the sea. So we got everything you know, so free your heart and let it go. It's not about the price you pay, but the way you live the show. We're talking about you, oh oh, the way you live the show. I'm talking about you, oh oh, and the way you live the show. I'm talking about you, oh oh, and the way you live the show.
Okay, our next entertainer, Alexis Lusader from Minnesota. This is called The Real Me.
When hot meets the cold, where boring greets bold, that's where I'll be, that's where you'll find me. When dark meets light, when gentle greets fight, come and see, see the real me. What do you see on the outside is only skin deep. Would you run away if you found out the real me? Like opening a present and not liking what you see. Would you run far away if you found out the real me? You take one look at me, judge me first time you see. You don't know what I've been through. Step in my shoes. There's more than meets the eye. If only you knew why I am the way I am. Guess if you can, what do you see?
Okay, this next song coming up is by Jimbo Rocco.
Forgive me, why do you show me love? Why do you forgive me? After all the selfish things I've done, you are here to show me love. Why do you forgive me? Why do you? Selfish things I've done, you are here to show me love. After all the selfish things I've done, you are here to show me love. After all the selfish things I've done, you are here to show me love.
All right, this is Zoe Ann, South Lake, Texas.
Tonight's my night, I gotta let go. I'm gonna let you know I gotta live my life right and fight for who I wanna be. It's up to me. I finally realize what I need. I need to be free. Don't need a fancy car to get me far where I wanna be. It's up to me.
Okay, this next song coming up is Tiffany Hoyton from Highland Park, Texas. House of Normandy.
Normally, I'd be over this by now, a missing piece that I can't seem to find is haunting me like a dream I can't remember, and I still hear unanswered questions echo deep inside. It's been 3 days, 2 months, 1 year since I found the strength to come back here. Oh, I wish I could go back in time and change the day that I crossed that line. If you wanna catch a glimpse of white, I hang my head and I still cry. Oh, the truth is plain to see, the ghost of who I used to be haunts that house on Normandy. Normandy was the place this all began, and never dreamed that I'd get left behind constantly. Reminded of that time where who I was and who I am fractured in my mind. It's been 3 days, 2 months, 1 year since I found the strength to come.
Seeing I'm from Texas, I think we'll take a little turn here. We'll try a little country and Western. This is Jerry Audley. I'm going to do an interview with him tomorrow afternoon.
Every day I tell myself it's temporary, that it's only 'cause she's young that makes her want another man. But even though she makes me feel unnecessary, I found a way to help me understand. And I've got this drinking thing, keep from thinking things about where you've been, who you've been with, what you've done. And it's a lonely thing, but it's the only thing that keeps a foolish man love hanging on. If I wait up at home, I'll only ask her questions. She'd probably tell the truth, so I don't even ask. So I'll sit here on this bar stool, feeling helpless. And I wonder just how long a man can last. And I've got this drinking thing to keep from thinking things about where you've been, who you've been with, what you've done. And it's a lonely thing, but it's the only thing that keeps a foolish man love hanging on. That keeps a foolish man love hanging on.
All right, this next song coming up is called Goodbye Cowboy by Comey McDonald from Dallas, Texas. Notice how I start sounding country when a country song comes on.
30 miles just south of Austin, coming home from San Antonio. Stopped in for a cup of coffee and put a few dollars on the telephone. When your voice came on the line, well, I could tell you weren't alone. And the chills ran down my spine as you reminded me what you said when I left home. If you leave this time, I want you to know this is the last time you'll say goodbye, leaving me for rodeo. I've tried, cried and I've cried some more. So think long and hard about it before you walk out that door. This cowboy, not waiting around for you no more. I poured out my coffee, walked away, sat down on the curb. It's killing me to know there's another man lying there with her. And as I drive off in the night, I can't stop thinking of what she said. And I'm tortured by the words that haunt my mind and echo in my head. You leave this time, I want you to know this is the last time you say goodbye, leaving me for rodeo. Cried and I've cried some more. So think long and hard about it before you walk out that door.
All right, everybody, that concludes another show of WTFRadio.me. Make sure you tune in next Friday night at 8 p.m. We're going to be providing a show for our musical talent, having interviews with some of the bands and some of the recording artists. Okay, everybody, have a good evening, and thank you very much from Jeff Overturf and WTFRadio.me.